We are talking to Lydia Skiff Ernst and Bill Skiff. It's October 12th, 2008. So I just want the two of you to talk about what it was like in Beetle Hill when you were little kids.
I'll start.
Well, I was born on December 8th, 1907 on Beetle Hill. That's all I remember, because when you're an infant, you don't know who's...
How old were you when you moved into Greenwich?
I was 6 years old.
Do you remember anything between the time you were born and six? Remember what it was like living on Beetle Hill, or what your dad or mom, your mother or father did?
No, I don't remember anything that happened. I remember leaving Beetle Hill to go to Greenwich when I was 6 years old.
What kind of business did your father have? What did he do?
Well, he had stores in Greenwich. When we moved to Greenwich, he worked in a store in Greenwich when we first went in. And after, that was World War I, and the reason that we lived there was because the manager of the store had to go to a war early 1900s.
Right.
And then when we left, it was because the man that managed the store in Greenwich had to go into World War I.
Right. Now, when were you born, Aunt Lydia? What was the year?
1907.
And when you were 19, that's right, because you would have gone into Greenwich about 1913, and the war started in 1914 and lasted until about 1919, I think. So So he had to go to war, and your father took over the store.
No, he didn't close the store.
He took over. He took it over. He ran it.
Yes. Oh. Yes, okay. He managed it.
Right. You can both talk. Did your father have a store in Easton?
Yeah. In Easton Corners, or Northeastern, as we know it now, that my father had a store there to begin with. And then in 19... I don't know what year it was.
I don't either.
14 or 15, he bought the store in Greenwich. I'm not sure just what year it was.
When he bought two stores.
Well, he had a grocery store, then you had a dry goods store. Bill Dobbins, his name was Bill Dobbins, I think. He managed the dry goods store.
Yes.
Well, my father had the grocery store.
Yeah.
And he owned a farm at the same time. He bought it, but then after a few, well, for a while, at one time he moved to Greenwich, and when you were and Chet were small, you lived on Hill Street for a few years.
Until I was six.
And then after that, you went back to the farm again for a short time. And then 1921 is when we moved to Greenwich. My father and all of us in the family moved to Greenwich.
Yes, in 21.
In 1921 on Hill Street. Of course, the store was bought with it. And so then he was in charge of the store, and we had to go up in the store, and the store was going, and during the Depression,
yes.
And we found it was pretty tough. A lot of people, that thing goes with Easton, but.
He started several stores at that time.
Well, but anyway, he liked stores because he bought a store in Battenville.
Oh, did he?
Yes,
did he have
a
store in Battenville and another one in Salem.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Neat market. But that doesn't have anything to do with Easton. But anyway, those are the years in the 20s that those.
Yes. Well, the managers of those stores lived in those area?
George, my father had two sons by his first marriage, George and Paul. And as I remember, George was in charge of the store in Salem.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, this is talking about everything that took place in Greenwich, because the store was there, and we all had to work in the store, and farmers would bring their eggs in and buy their groceries, and so that's the way we'd buy the eggs, and they'd get the groceries, so that's the way we handled our accounts.
First of all, explain where the farm was in Easton.
Well, the farm was in the southern part of Easton, in what's called the Beetle Hill area. It's in southeastern.
Yes, it was southeastern.
And what did your father do on the farm? Did he have cows, or?
Well, of course, that's what he had on the farm. He had the farm, he had...
A manager.
Yeah, he had cows, and he had sheep, and he had pigs. In those days, he had about everything, and chickens. Yeah. And in those years, of course, there wasn't any electricity, and we had... everything was lighted by lanterns. The lanterns just carried in the barn, and lamps in the house, kerosene lanterns and lamps.
Yes, there was no electricity, and there was no electricity from the milking machine. So my father bought a...
At that time, I think it was called a Delco electric system. He bought a Delco electric system we had in the cellar of the house, and that would generate electricity. So that allowed us to have electric lights in the house.
Wow.
But that's it. I mean, we didn't have wires to run to the barn, but that's when they had lights in the house, and I don't know what year the words.
Now the house that you... Oh, go ahead.
The house was run by electricity, yes.
Now the...
Well, the house was the family, Skiff family house.
Right.
And he had brothers and sisters that lived in the houses to begin with. But then, as they got older, they dispersed and they went, all of them went to 8th grade in the schools, country schools.
Well, now your father, your father was Edward J. Skiff, E.J. Skiff,
yeah.
And he had brothers and one brother and two sisters?
No.
Sam was the brother.
Brothers?
And there was Lonnie.
Yes.
I didn't know them because I was just a kid. That was before I was born.
Yes, he died.
And then there was Emma.
Emma and Aunt Rhoda.
And
Uncle Sam.
What was my father's sister, Nan, married a baker. Up in Hartford. Cathcart's mother.
Lena Cathcart's mother?
Lena Cathcart's mother? She lived in...
She was a Skiff.
Yes.
She was a Skiff. What was her name?
Cathcart. Oh, I don't remember.
My father's sister's name. I don't remember.
Oh, really? Because I know, I remember Lonnie and Sam and Emma and Rhoda and then EJ were there. There were five of them, or was there another one?
There's another one.
Can't remember.
There was one that died when she was... Another girl that died when she was four.
Oh.
I think her name was Mary.
Now, I know that Emma married Becker, and she lived on Route 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she was really involved in the Political Equality Club in Easton. But now what happened to Sam and Lonnie? Where did they go?
Well, Sam was a merchant. He had a meat market in Cambridge. And his son, Charlie Skiff, wasn't it?
Yes.
And they had a meat market in Cambridge. And then after that, I guess Charlie's son had a meat market in Schuylerville.
That's right.
But of course, they're all interested in merchandise and buying and selling.
Yes.
Having stores and meeting people.
The Skiffs either had stores or they were farmers, right?
Yes.
Well,
but no.
You know, they started out on farms.
Right.
But after my father's first wife died, he married
Emma.
Who did he marry?
Emma Skiff, he married.
He was married to Verbeck. Verbeck.
Verbeck to begin with.
What was her first name? I can't remember. He was married to Verbeck.
Yes. Yeah.
And she died, then he married Carrie.
Yeah. Beadle. Well, then he married Carrie Beadle. Carrie Beadle is our mother.
Right. Right. So you moved out of Easton when you were both really quite young. You were four.
Yeah, I was five.
Oh, you were five, but you must have been older when you moved out the second time, Lydia. When you moved to Academy Street, how old were you?
13.
All right, so do you remember, what do you remember like when you were 10, 11, 12, 13? Did you go to school?
And yes, where, I went to Beta Hill, the rural school, Beta Hill, when I was six, and until I was 13, because the manager of the store that's where I worked, 6 to 13. I went to country school.
We moved from the farm to Greenwich in 1921.
Okay, and so Lydia went to the country school at the top of Beetle Hill. You must have had to walk down the hill and up the hill again, right?
Oh, boy,
yes. But it wasn't much of a hill. A hill and then flat. Just,
you walked to school naturally. I mean, everybody had to walk to school.
It was easy to walk to school in those days.
What was school? I have two questions for you. First of all, you said you worked at a store when you were about 6 or 7 years old, or
no.
What was the school like? What do you remember about the school?
It was one big room. It was one big room with a stove and it was heated by coal or wood. I don't know which. And it was very nice. There were about 28 of us kids in different classes. We had arithmetic. I had arithmetic when I was, I had a Ryan for a teacher. That was the eighth grade.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So were there any bullies in the classroom? Any boys that picked on little kids?
No. I don't remember that. Do you?
Well, you didn't go to school there, though.
I didn't go to school there, no.
No, that's right.
But I remember going to school there. You took me to school there one day. I remember that.
Yes.
Oh, really? What was that about? What was that like?
Well, she took me to school before I was 5 years old, naturally, when we was on the farm. I remember going with her to school one day.
Remember?
Yes, I remember it very well.
Why did you take him to school?
Because I wanted him to see it, and I wanted him to see the kids.
So what, was he there the whole day? Did he stay the whole day with you?
Probably. I don't remember, but I
remember that day I went. I remember walking there up with you and back with you. That's all I remember.
Well, then you were there for the day. Yes. That could have been in 1913.
No, it must have been. It must have been 19.
No, it was
21 or so.
1921.
Well, I was born 1907,
right.
And you were born 5 years later, so that would make you.
What?
No, he was born 1916.
1916.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Now, you're different between us.
Okay, this is the question I have. Do you remember what you did in school that day?
When I went with her?
When you went with Aunt Lydia, yeah.
I don't remember that day, but I know from experience what you told me and other people told me in the wintertime at noon, it was on a hill, Beale Hill, and you took your sled and you'd ride downhill.
Yes. Well, you went up. When you got to Beetle Hill, you turn right and continue walking up that hill. And then I can remember Chet, our brother Chet, riding on the sleigh. He would lie on the sleigh.
That's what I'm saying. That's what they did in the wintertime.
Yes.
Noontime, they had the sleds.
Yes.
What time did you have to be at school in the morning, do you remember?
9 o'clock.
And what time did you walk home?
Four.
Yes.
Oh, a long day. Did you pack a lunch? Did your mother pack a lunch for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Big lunch.
Took a lunch.
Yes.
And then
you couldn't buy any.
No. And who did you have any jobs? Did you have to like do the fire or do anything like that? No. The teacher did that.
Did you have to race the slate board or anything like that? Did you have to do any of that kind of stuff? You had a slate board.
Yeah, when I walked to school, Chet and John, Chet was the oldest, and then I was next, and then John. And we three always always played together and walked to school together.
Right.
It was fun.
Yeah, I bet it was fun. That's all right. I had a question. I can't remember. Did you go, when did you go? Did you start in September? Did you start school in September? And then when did you end school? In June?
June.
And you took time off?
Yeah.
Did your father have a store when you lived down in Easton?
Oh, yes.
Now, where was that store?
In
Northeastern.
It was in Northeastern?
Yes.
Over in Easton, wasn't it? Northeastern.
Over by the
Burton Hall.
By Burton Hall. Right.
Yes.
Did he ever sell anything out of the barn and back of the house? Did he ever sell anything out of the barn and back of the house?
Yes, he had, as I remember, there were shelves there.
Yes.
And I think he sold groceries, had groceries available for neighbors, farm neighbors.
Right.
So that was his passion, I guess, to have stores and sell, to buy and sell stuff.
Sounds like
and
it.
Russell? Yeah.
Russell.
So that's what led him to buying a store in Greenwich, because he liked to buy and sell.
That's right.
He liked to be a merchant. But I can also add to it, after his first wife died, his wife, second wife, didn't want to live in the house. It was a farmhouse, and so they arranged it. I guess she had a brother somewhere who was an architect or builder. So they built a house, his first wife, and he built a house away from the barn, up the old ways, away from the barn. And the original house was below where the barn is. But anyway, after they had the new house, my father wanted to be a merchant and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, the farmers, I can get their milk and I can make cheese. So he started a cheese factory in the house he lived in.
I remember the cheese factory. And I remember the couple.
Sure, we all remember the cheese factory.
There was a couple from Europe that.
Well, how about Bill Behrens? I named after him. He became part of the family, as I understand it.
Yes, well, he was so well liked that he was part of the family, really.
Bill Behrens.
Bill Behrens. Right. Yes.
Was he, now where did he
that's
come
from? That's why I was not named.
I know, you
know
named after
name was. So
he came from Germany.
They said, well, name him Baron, right. So my middle name became Baron.
I tell everybody you were named after the hired man.
Well, he was part of the family because he came here and he took part in all the activities of my father had in the sword and other things.
Yes, and when he died, he was buried in the Quaker Cemetery.
Is he buried there? Oh.
Where?
He was born in the Quaker Cemetery.
He buried there.
Probably the South Meeting House.
Well, that's the only cemetery right near there, the Quaker Cemetery in Southeastern.
Yeah. And that's where grandfather and grandmother are buried, John Fish.
Oh, yeah, they were Quakers to begin with. Right. They went to the Quakers. They had a lot of Quakers in that area.
Yeah, let's talk about the Quakers, because you have a background, and both of you, your grandparents were Quakers, weren't they?
Yes.
John Fish.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to a Quaker meeting?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
All summertime they had the Quaker meeting house, it was called. It was never called a church. It was a meeting house. And people from all around that area that went to the Quaker meeting house.
Right.
And it was very interesting because the men sat on one side, and the women on the other side, and there was
a divider down the middle.
What they called the people, the other people that were well-versed in Quaker religion would sit up front. Yes. And they didn't have a pastor, but they had programs and concerns about the religion, and they talked about that. And the story goes that during the Revolutionary War, of course, we were the English were coming over here, and of course there was Indian tribes here in this area, and of course they were taking over Indian tribes. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. And so the Quakers at that time were faced with a bunch of, they weren't faced with anybody, but the story is that the Indians didn't like the settlers, the people who were living here, and they went to the Quaker meeting house and wanted to have a session with them, and the Quakers invited them in and asked them to worship with them. So that's the Quaker theory, is to have to get along,
right,
work together.
Right. Did the men wear the Quaker hats? The flat hats? Did the men wear hats?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, but the Quakers would go into the meeting house before 11 o'clock in the morning, and those who were going to talk would face the people sitting down. They were on a church bench facing the audience.
Right.
And one person up front that was going to talk would stand up and talk and then sit down, and somebody else would get up and talk and sit down. And that's the whole thing. And when it was time to end the service, those up front would turn to one another, shake hands, and then everybody get up.
Yeah. So you went to the South Meeting House, the big white one on the hill there.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. You know what? Let's stop for a minute. I want to see how this sounds. Let's listen to it. I hope I got it.